If you're suffering from hip pain, we know how that can take a toll on your daily life. So what are some of the common causes of hip pain? How is hip pain initially treated? And when is it time for surgery? Let's find out with Dr. Derek Ward, an orthopedic surgeon and medical director of orthopedic surgery at Marin Health Orthopedic Care, a UCSF health clinic. This is the Healing Podcast, brought to you by Marin Health. I'm Bill Klaproth. Dr. Ward, thank you so much for your time. It is great to talk with you. So first off, what are some of the most common causes of hip pain?
One of the single most common causes of hip pain is osteoarthritis. This is the normal wear and tear arthritis that occurs as we age. A large percentage of people get this type of arthritis as we get older. And there certainly can be other causes of hip pain that are related to the soft tissues around the hip, including muscle and tendon issues, as well as soft tissues inside the hip. And there can be causes of hip pain that come from outside the hip, including issues coming from the back. And those things can mimic hip pain as well.
Right. So it sounds like the single most common cause, though, of hip pain is osteoarthritis. So then when someone comes in, what are the preliminary treatments? Is it anti-inflammatories? Is it physical therapy, cortisone shots? What normally happens?
So the good news is that many of the common causes of hip pain, including the muscle and tendon issues around the hip, as well as osteoarthritis and the other types of arthritis, generally respond relatively well to non-surgical treatments. This includes anti-inflammatories, physical therapy, activity modification, and sometimes injections. Often these things can help control the pain. Now, many of these treatments don't solve the problem, especially when the problem is arthritis. But if they can control the pain and maintain quality of life, then patients can often avoid or delay surgery.
Right. All right. So let's talk about that. We were just talking about the non-surgical treatments. When those don't work, how does someone know it's time for surgery? What are the signs?
It's a great question. It's one of the most common ones I receive from my patients. It's really a quality of life decision. If someone's hip has become arthritic enough where their quality of life is impacted on a daily basis, where they can't do the normal everyday things they want to do, and they can't maintain an active and healthy lifestyle because of their hip pain, then surgery becomes a very reasonable option. This is specifically for osteoarthritis that we're talking about. It's largely based on quality of life. And because the surgery works pretty well, when a patient's quality of life is severely affected, then surgery becomes a pretty good option for them.
Right. Well, that makes a lot of sense, basing it on quality of life. Who would be a good person for hip replacement surgery?
A good candidate for hip replacement surgery, someone who's going to do well and enjoy their hip replacement and have good outcomes, is generally someone who has arthritis that is going to warrant the treatment. So that tends to be the arthritis that's more severe. So once people's arthritis becomes more severe, then hip replacement really becomes often the best long-term treatments. Other things that make patients good candidates are patients who are active and engaged in their recovery, patients who feel like they're ready for surgery from a mental standpoint, and patients who are excited to get back to an active and healthy lifestyle.
Get back to that quality of life, right? So somebody who is, their quality of life really has been impaired and they want to get out and ride a bike again and walk without pain and those kinds of things, be active again.
This is under the assumption that the patient is medically fit for surgery. So obviously we're not going to discuss surgery unless someone, is healthy enough to have that surgery.
Yep, absolutely. That makes sense. So then how does somebody prepare for surgery? What do they need to know?
It's another really good question. I mean, one of the most important things that a patient's surgeon will do is actually help guide them through the preparations for surgery. And in our offices and in many practices, there are resources for this, including handouts and pamphlets, nurse navigators who help guide them through the preparation and recovery process. Patients need to know how to get their home ready for the recovery for surgery, how to set up their therapy afterwards, and what to know in terms of expectations about the surgery itself, the recovery, and the expectations around pain management and anesthesia with the surgery. So a lot of this has to be surgeon guiding them through. And I think the most important thing the patient can do is really be an active participant in that guidance.
I would imagine that would help, being an active participant. So you mentioned a couple of things there, the surgery itself. You also mentioned anesthesia. Can you give us a brief overview of the surgery itself and maybe touch on a few of the anesthesia options?
The surgery is performed through an incision on the side or front of the body, depending on the surgeon's preference. Essentially, what we're doing is we're replacing the arthritic joint with mechanical parts. So this means we are removing the ball part of the hip, reshaping the socket. Usually with a titanium piece, we place a stem inside the femur that's also made of titanium. And then there's usually a couple other parts that are either ceramic or what's called highly crusted polyethylene, which is just a very special plastic. And essentially, we're recreating the hip joint with the mechanical hip joint. In terms of the anesthesia, this depends a little bit on the individual patient, but many patients are able to have a spinal anesthetic, which means that they're asleep, but they're breathing on their own and their legs are numb. And this is actually a really comfortable and nice way to go through surgery, a very safe way to go through surgery. The anesthesiologist will place numbing medication in the back to facilitate this and then give the patient medications to keep them sleepy during a surgery so they don't remember anything. Some patients need to have a general anesthetic, although because the procedure is not particularly long, the general anesthesia is usually not terrible for a patient. So most patients actually find that the anesthesia for this procedure is not particularly difficult.
Well, that's really good to hear. So then can you tell us about the recovery, what that's like, and the general outcomes that you see?
That's another good question. So I love doing this surgery. And the reason I love doing this surgery is that most patients gain a huge amount of relief of their pain, and they're able to go back to a much better level of function than they were before the surgery. Last century, this was described as the surgery of the century because it had such good outcomes. Most patients really do return to a very good level of function, and many, many patients tell us that once they're through the recovery period, they'll wake up and forget they ever had the surgery done, which is really the goal that we have surgeons for these patients. The recovery can take some time, and the time varies from patient to patient. Usually, patients are up and walking right away after the surgery, but they're sore for a little while. Most patients are feeling pretty good by about 4 to 6 weeks, but I tell patients to anticipate that full recovery can take 3 months, sometimes longer, sometimes shorter.
3 months doesn't sound all that bad if somebody was really struggling with hip pain. It sounds like a pretty good trade-off to be pretty much fully recovered and back to your normal lifestyle within 3 months. That sounds pretty good.
Most patients come into the office and tell us that they wish they'd done it sooner. That's the thing we hear most commonly.
Right. I like how you called the surgery of the century. That's good. I love that. So last question, Dr. Warden, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate this. Can you explain to us or talk to us about joint preservation surgery versus total hip replacement?
Joint preservation is really for certain conditions where the hip does not need to be replaced. These are conditions usually where the arthritis is either non-existent or not severe at all. We think a lot of the hip pain either comes from other structural problems in the hip, either from a piece of tissue called the labrum in the hip, or possibly from hip dysplasia. So sometimes patients are able to undergo surgeries where we don't have to replace the hip, but we can address these particular conditions. Now, many of these patients end up needing a hip replacement down the road, but often we preserve the joint for a very long period of time. And so it's important for patients to have the right diagnosis and for them to understand their condition and their options before proceeding with either type of surgery.
Right. So as you said, it's important to have the right diagnosis and then have that option available to them. Well, Dr. Ward, this is really interesting stuff. Thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate it. Thanks again.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
And that's Dr. Derek Ward. And to learn more, please visit mymarinhealth.org/ortho. And if you found this podcast helpful, please share it on your social channels and be sure to check out the full podcast library for topics of interest to you. This is the Healing Podcast brought to you by Marin Health. I'm Bill Klaproth. Thanks for listening.